Today for Saints and Sinners, as we explore the history of saints and their walk from sinner to sainthood, especially those who walked the path of addiction. Let us not forget that every saint has a past and every sinner a future. Your hosts are Father Doug McKay and Ken Johnston.
And good afternoon and welcome to Saints and Sinners, your host Ken Johnston, and I am flying solo today. First and foremost, it's good to be back in the seat again. Apologies for the last two Wednesdays. Unfortunately, I landed in the hospital a couple of weeks ago and had some, minor surgery compared to some others, but I guess any surgery takes a little bit of time to recover. But anyway, for those that have prayed for me, I certainly appreciate it. I'm about 90% now. I expect to be fully recovered in the next couple of days. Thank God. And so again, I appreciate all the prayers and thoughts that have been out there. And I know Kathleen mentioned it a couple of times. I really missed not being able to play in the golf outing this year. It's one of the highlights of my year. To be able to get out there and meet the benefactors and those that support this great radio apostolate, and actually being able to get out there and swing the golf clubs as well. So my thanks to Dan Flack and John Alcorn, my son-in-law Steve Ilg, and his buddy Mike Loftus, that foursome I was supposed to be a part of, for picking up the slack. A little disappointed they didn't get the money, but that's okay. That's okay. But I certainly appreciate everyone that supported the golf outing this year, and all the ways that you support us throughout the year. So, of course, I want to praise and thank God for all of you. And again, can't thank you enough for everything that you do for us as a radio apostolate and for myself individually. I certainly appreciate it. Father McKay and I are part of Our House Ministries, a ministry that works with the addicted and anyone else that comes to us. You can learn more about the ministry at ourhouseministries.org. Father and I are also available to come out and speak at your parish or other group. Just get in touch with us through the Our House Ministries website or through Maureen here at In His Sign. But not today. Maureen's got the day off. Good for her. Well deserved. Give her a shout tomorrow or anytime after. If you need to get in touch with Father or I, she has our contact information and can put you in touch with us. Quick note on the Matt Talbot Shrine. We're still open on Tuesdays and Thursdays down at St. Gabriel's Parish at the corner of 29th and Dickinson in the Grace Ferry neighborhood of South Philadelphia. I've only been able to make it down there a couple of times in the last 2 weeks, but expect to be back there full-time next week. So come on down. Visit the shrine. St. Gabriel's Church, the Cathedral of South Philadelphia. We were talking a little bit about it last night, and you know the different tastes that people have in the places that they worship. And St. Gabriel's has been there over 100 years now, and just an absolutely gorgeous church. And then to add the Matt Talbot Shrine on top of that just makes it all that much more special. And come on down. I know that. If you watch the news or read the paper and see everything that's going on in this crazy city of ours, I have to be honest, down in that Grace Ferry neighborhood, you'd expect maybe an uptick, and it's level or down, I think, in that neighborhood. I don't think you have anything to fear. If that's what's keeping you away, don't let it. Come on down. And the doors are open on Tuesdays and Thursdays from 9 a.m., until close to 6 p.m. We have our Calyx meeting that starts at 6 on Tuesdays, and Thursdays we might close a little bit early depending on who's around. But if you're going to come down, get in touch with Father or I through the Our House Ministries website, and we'll make sure to carve out some time to come over and show you around and meet with you. It would just be great to have you down. We had our third Tuesday Matt Talbot Mass and Holy Hour last night. A little underattended, but not surprised. I think a few people knew that Father McKay was on vacation. We were blessed to have Father Hank McKee with us, former pastor at Sacred Heart Parish in Havertown, but now resides at St. Francis of Assisi in Springfield, where we, by the way, we have a Calyx meeting, and we'll mention that when we come back from the break. But Hank Father McKee, rather, was spot on last night with during the Mass. A number of people went to confession. It's just a great night. And that third Tuesday in of each month, when we have that Matt Talbot Holy Hour and Mass, you know, the focus of that is for anybody that's touched by addiction. And I don't know anybody these days that's not touched in one way or another, whether it's somebody in your immediate family or, a grandson, a nephew, a niece, a cousin. I don't think there's anybody that's walking on this planet today that doesn't know somebody that at least knows somebody, if not a person directly involved with addiction. And so we invite you to come down, spend a couple hours with us, an hour in adoration, and offer the prayers that we offer for all those that are in recovery, those that are still struggling with addiction, and more importantly, the folks that really suffer as a direct result of addiction. And that's an awful lot of people. And so our hope, we've been doing this now for about a year. Our hope is that someday that, not because we like addiction, but because of the number of people that we know that suffer, we'd love to see that church filled on that third Tuesday of the month. I know the colder weather's coming, but, come on down, put it on your calendar and try to make an effort to come down and spend some time with us. I promise you, you'll be well rewarded. And that reward may not, be tangible the same night, but in the days and weeks to come. So please, by all means, try to come down and spend some time with us. The other thing I want to mention along those same lines is there's a lot of clear ways to vote in the upcoming election. And I hope that all of our listeners, whether you're in Pennsylvania or the other states that tune in, please get out and vote. This is a significant election, especially here in Pennsylvania. The differences couldn't be more stark as to, where the candidates stand on a bunch of issues. And, the pro-life fight is far from over. Just because of the Dobbs decision and the reversal of Roe v. Wade, it didn't do anything per se by just the reversal as far as abortion laws go. Granted, it triggered a lot of laws that the various states had passed, and they were called trigger laws because they were hoping that someday the Dobbs decision or whatever case it was that would cause the reversal of Roe v. Wade to come down, that these legislatures in the states had passed laws that would go into effect the moment that Roe v. Wade was overturned. Pennsylvania wasn't one of those states, and New Jersey certainly wasn't one. I'll be honest, I don't know where Delaware is on the issue. But the pro-life fight is far from over. And as a matter of fact, it's even being battled even more. And, between the pro-life folks that are having FBI SWAT teams show up at their door, both locally here in Pennsylvania and Tennessee and others, it's no time to, sit back and relax when it comes to that issue. And frankly, the one candidate here in Pennsylvania, I think that's the only thing that he's running on. And, meanwhile, crime is going through the roof. Addiction overdoses nationwide, over 100,000. And, some candidates think the solution is safe injection sites. And if you follow Gina Christian at all on CatholicPhilly.com or listen to Father McKay, talk about these safe injection sites, man, they sound great, and please understand that I sympathize with any parent, grandparent, brother, sister who has lost somebody to an overdose. But the idea that these safe injection sites would have saved that person are slim to none. The studies that have come out in Vancouver, they may keep them strung along for a while, and they can safely inject for weeks or months or years to come. But the existence that they have, I encourage you to go out to YouTube and just do a search on Kensington and heroin or Kensington and drugs. And the stuff that's out there now, I mean, the one drug that they're doing, they call it Trank. It's a horse tranquilizer. It's actually a flesh-eating drug. You know, these folks that are getting hooked on it, they got wounds that need to be taken care of and aren't. So it brings along infection and everything else that goes with it. And, you know, these people that are proposing safe injection sites, again, I get it. Anybody that's lost somebody, I can understand why you think that this might be a good thing. But the fact that they're going to let them, you know, shoot these drugs into their bodies and continue, it's just horrendous. And the fact that everything that the addict does up until the point that they stick that needle in their arm is illegal. So they rob and steal from anybody that they have to in order to get the money to purchase the drugs. They go and they purchase the drugs illegally from so that money goes to support gangs and some pretty seedy people. And then they come and show up at some place where they're going to make sure that they don't die. And, you know, it just, those of us that are working with these folks, we know that the only answer is abstinence. And, you know, those that want to claim that these sites will help, you know, just need to look at the articles about what goes on in Vancouver and everything. It destroys neighborhoods. You know, these folks that want to do it, nobody wants to put it in their house. You know, nobody wants it in their backyard. They figure out we'll put it in Kensington because of the way that neighborhood is now. I guarantee it, it's not going to improve the neighborhood. If anything, it's going to make it worse. And so, again, I sympathize with anyone that's lost someone, but these sites are not the answer. The only answer is God. The only answer is abstinence. And there's people and programs that are out there that can help. And we just need to get to the addicts when they get to their bottom, when they reach out for help and be there to give them the real help that they need. And, you know, and that varies. I got, you know, the friends I hang out with in Grace Ferry, probably over the summer, I stopped getting off the South Street exit of the Schuylkill for one reason and one reason only. There were no panhandlers there. There was nobody to talk to when you get off the Schuylkill. And there's been a few I've gotten to know at the 34th Street exit, one gentleman in particular, Anthony, and I ask you to keep him in prayer. I haven't seen him in a couple of weeks now, but just those mornings when I would see him and the smile he would get on his face when I would holler out the window to him, and yeah, I give him a couple bucks because I want him to live long enough to get into rehab. And if the drugs take him out before that, then that's between he and God. It's not, I would never take responsibility for that. And hopefully they use some of the money to get food in their stomach. And I'm not so naive to think that they're not using it for drugs. But if it strings them along long enough to finally get the help that they need, and to see the smile on their faces when you call them by name. I've talked about this before when I was in Ireland with Father McKay and Father Lawless, and we're walking through the streets of Dublin, and Father Lawless, I believe the young man's name was Michael, but we're walking through, and Michael's, you know, sitting down on the sidewalk, leaning against the building, his head on his knees, and, you know, Father Lawless approached him, and, "Hey, Michael, how you doing?" And Michael perked up, and, you know, Father Lawless gave him a couple of euros. And as we walked away from there, I asked Father Lawless, "How did you know the guy's name?" And he goes, "Whenever I give, you know, a handout, whenever I try to give somebody a hand up, I always ask them their name." And he said that kid Michael, he said he told me nobody had called him by his name in months. And so when I, you know, put my window down on the 34th Street exit and holler out, "Hey, Anthony," or holler out for the others because they're not going to get to me before the light changes. Just to see them, you know, put a smile on their face and know that somebody actually knows their name and cares enough to call for them makes a huge impact. And that can be the difference between somebody taking their life through drugs and not taking it. Not that I'm anywhere close to God and have that kind of power, but God allows me to be in those situations and to recognize their humanity and to pray for them and truly want them to get the real help that they need, you know, to find a way to total abstinence and their way back to Him. Give out miraculous medals and to see the addicts wearing the medals that you give them. I had one woman back in early September claim she wasn't an addict, just homeless and needed a hand up. And I gave her a couple of bucks and a miraculous medal, and the tears just started flowing out of her eyes. And when I asked what was up, and she talked about her love for the Blessed Mother and how special that medal was, you know, it wasn't my first thought to do these kind of things. But when you do them and you can see God in these people and know that God is in there somewhere, and that they just need that moment of grace, and when that moment comes, you pray that there's somebody there to help them and that they get the help that they need. For every person that I personally know that it has died from an overdose, I know just as many, if not more, that have recovered. And, you know, the lives that they lead now are so far from the lives that they've led before that it truly is a gift to just be a small part of whatever role I can play and the ministry can play in their lives. So, you know, continue to keep all of us in prayer, those that are fighting a good fight, those that are struggling to get another day clean, those that want to get the rehab but just don't feel like they have the wherewithal to do it, or the fear that, you know, they're going to, you know, it won't be the first time and it's not going to work again. We never know when it's going to work. You know, that's all in God's plans, not ours. But we continue to do what we can and pray for them and truly get them the help that they need. So all that to say, I mean, there's a real clear distinction in the run for Senate in Pennsylvania as to who wants to do what. And I'm not one to usually get on the political bandwagons here, but other than to say that come November 8th, there's a significant differences in the folks that are running for office, and your vote can and will make a difference. So, you know, get out there and vote. Take people with you. If you got young or younger folks that are living in your house, like I do, the 20-somethings that are just as fed up with the commercials as I am, you know, have those conversations with them. And you know, if they're, you know, apolitical and don't want to get involved, or, you know, all they see is the banner going back and forth and can't see the truth in any of it, like a lot of people, have those conversations with them and just inform them. And then let the, you know, as Jiminy Cricket would say, let their conscience be their guide. But you need to have an informed conscience and know, you know, what all these folks stand for and don't stand for. And then make your selection. And I'll leave that to each and every one of you to decide for yourselves. But again, there's clear distinctions to be made, especially in this important election. All right, getting that out of the way, I guess we should have started prayer already, but we'll start now. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. And the following is the prayer for the canonization of Matt Talbot. Lord, in your servant Matt Talbot, you have given us a wonderful example of triumph over addiction, of devotion to duty, and of lifelong reverence to the Most Holy Sacrament. May his life of prayer and penance give us courage to take up our crosses and follow in the footsteps of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Father, if it be your will, that your beloved servant should be glorified by your church, make known by your heavenly favors the power he enjoys in your sight. We ask this through the same Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. O Mary, conceived without sin, pray for us who have recourse to thee. O Mary, conceived without sin, pray for us who have recourse to thee. O Mary, conceived without sin, pray for us who have recourse to thee, and for all those who do not have recourse to thee, especially the enemies of Holy Church and those recommended to you. Venerable Matt Talbot and St. Monica, pray for us. St. Maximilian Kolbe and St. Mark G, pray for us. St. Francis and St. Clair, pray for us. St. Luke the Evangelist, pray for us. And all the angels and saints, pray for us. May the divine assistance remain always with us, and may the souls of the faithful departed, through the mercy of God, rest in peace. Amen. And speaking of folks that are resting in peace, again, I want to thank all those that have reached out since the passing of my mother back on Labor Day. What a glorious graduation ceremony she had that following Monday. I know we were on the air since then, but I've actually had a couple of phone calls this week from folks that were at that funeral and talk about how wonderful Father McKay was and the music was to have. Four sober priests, a good deacon friend of mine on the altar. The beautiful music that we had was just a wonderful send-off for my mother. And again, I thank all those that have reached out in the past 6 weeks or so. I truly appreciate it, and I know my mom and family appreciate it, so thank you. Well, this is a one-hour call-in show, although we only got 40 minutes left, so anybody can call in and join the conversations. The number's 610-527-2906, 610-527-2906, or if you're listening from a distance, perhaps over our website at inhissign.com, you can reach us toll-free at 888-34-FAITH. That's 888-343-2484, especially want your calls. As we go to the break at the bottom of the hour, when we come back, we'll have our Is That Odd or Is That God segment. If God's touched you in a particular way in the past couple of weeks or even a month or so, and you'd like to witness to our listeners, I'd love to have you call. Again, it'll be just like you and I are talking on the phone. There might be a few people that are listening in, but how important it is that we share with others what God has done in our own lives. It's one of the beauties of the 12-step programs and why it works. When we're able to get together and, you know, share with people what God has done in our lives and how he's brought us from the bottom of bottoms to the doing things that we never dreamed to be able doing. Again, I say it all the time. If you had told me 30 years ago that, you know, my future would hold doing a couple of radio programs every Wednesday, especially Catholic radio programs, I would have had a belly laugh for certain. And yet God's done it for me. And if he's done it for me, he wants to do it for everyone. You know, that doesn't mean that radio broadcasting is your future, but God has a plan for your life. And when we share what God's done in our own lives, perhaps it'll cause somebody else to revisit or rethink about, you know, what it is that God wants them to do. And maybe God's been gnawing at them for a while and they haven't recognized it. And when you share what God did for you, it may trigger for them that thought that, you know, I heard this from someone, or I heard this at Mass, or I read about this, and maybe it was supposed to mean I was supposed to change course in my life. And I've just watched that in the last couple of weeks with my own daughter, you know, going to college and struggling a little bit in her major. And, you know, to watch how upset she was to think that she was a failure. And to realize that, you know, most of the pressure she was putting on herself was from herself, not from me or my wife. And that I certainly don't see her as a failure. And to let her know that, hey, maybe this is just God's way of pushing you in a different direction. And for her to hear that, I think she got a relief from it, enough so that, you know, over the course of the last week, she's investigating a new major. Same kind of feel still in the medical field, but you know, to know that there are other alternatives out there. And it's only because she reached out and finally said, hey, I need help. And so that goes, you know, applies to all of us, and to let her know that maybe God's got a different plan for her life. You know, maybe God's got a different plan for your life. It may not offer the earthly rewards that you're looking for. You'll definitely get the heavenly rewards, the godly rewards. I could guarantee you that. You know, give us a call, and like I say, if God's touching you in a particular way and you're willing to share it with our listeners, we'd love to hear from you. We are currently in the 29th week of Ordinary Time. We got a few saints in the calendar this week. One of Father McKay's favorite got pushed out on Sunday because it was Sunday, St. Margaret Mary Alacoque. On Monday the 17th was St. Ignatius of Antioch, bishop and martyr. And on Tuesday the 18th, yesterday, the patron of my home parish, St. Luke the Evangelist. Today we celebrate Two in particular, St. John de Brebeuf and St. Isaac Jogues, who were priests, and then, of course, they had a number of companions that were all martyred. And on Saturday the 22nd, we're going to celebrate St. John Paul II. And so I wanted to talk a little bit about St. Luke, not just because he's the patron of my parish, but we got a pretty good insight last night from Father McKee that offered our Calyx Mass for us. And so just the first couple verses from 2 Timothy chapter 4 that were read at Mass yesterday, if they did the readings for the solemnity or feast of St. Luke. And it says, "Beloved, Demas, enamored of the present world, deserted me and went to Thessalonica, Crescens to Galatia, and Titus to Dalmatia. Luke is the only one with me." And then he goes on to, you know, "Get Mark and bring him with you, for he is helpful to me in the ministry." And then he goes on to talk about some others. But Father McKee talked about it last night, and I know I've talked about it here a handful of times, and that is the need for companions on the way. And St. Paul says it here when he refers to Luke as the only one with me. So Luke is his companion, and you can just tell by the way it's written in the letter that how dear Paul thought of Luke at the time. That you know, regardless of everything else that Paul had done, and where he was now, to only have Luke there. And you know, I remember going back to him, the same daughter that's struggling a little bit, or not the same daughter, rather, that's struggling now, but my older daughter, when she went off to high school and she started out with a pack of girlfriends. And over time, the number of girls in that circle slowly dwindled. And I remember my wife telling her that if you have just one good friend, one person you can call your best friend, you've got it made. You know, you're not going to be friends with everybody. It just doesn't happen. And I think especially, I think for guys, our relationships, we have some deep ones, and I certainly have them, and then we have others where we can hang out in a group where we have some things in common and all get along. I think for women that may be a little more difficult, especially when it comes to having those deep personal relationships. But I remember my wife telling Megan that, and the impression that it made on me, and then, you know, how thankful Luke was to have how thankful Paul was to have Luke as a companion. And especially when it comes to the spiritual life, it's so important that we have people around us that are on the same wavelength. And they don't have to, you know, hold every belief that we believe. They don't have to pray every prayer that we pray. They don't have to attend the same devotions and, you know, have the same devotions in their life. But to have Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and to celebrate that through things that the Catholic Church offers, whether it's Mass or the sacraments, the devotions, everything that the Church has to offer. Again, you don't have to do every single thing together, but to have those companions that'll be there, especially when you can't get to church in the sacraments. I experienced that, you know, over the last couple of weeks. So used to being able to get to Mass every day if I avail myself to it, and to not be able to get there. And yet have folks like my buddy Patrick here, and Paul, and others that reached out almost daily just to check in and, you know, make sure I was okay, and if I needed anything, and to let me know that they were praying for me. Folks don't realize how important it is until you're in that situation. You know, I like to, you know, think I'm on the giving end of that sometimes, or a lot of times, and reach out to folks, and may not do it as often as others or as often as I should, but, you know, to let people know that I'm thinking about them and praying for them and what have you. It makes a huge difference in people's life. And if you don't have those kind of companions, there are ways to get them. Get involved in your parish, you know, attend prayer groups if you have devotions throughout the week that your parish offers. You know, get involved, stick around afterwards, just say hello to somebody, drum up a conversation. Sometimes all it takes is a "how you doing?" And next thing you know, you can have a spiritual friend on the journey with you. And again, it makes all the difference, especially these days in this crazy world that we're living in, to have somebody that's sane and on the same spiritual path as you are is just a huge bonus. So that brings us to the bottom of the hour already, and we are going to take a short break. Again, the phone numbers, 610-527-2906, 610-527-2906, or if you need to call toll-free, you can reach us at 888-343-2484. Give us a call. We're going to take a short break. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
This is Pat Wally. I have been a faithful listener of In His Sign for almost 9 years. So it is with much gratitude and appreciation in my heart that I reflect on how my life has been blessed through this beautiful anointed ministry. I personally have been the recipient of many answered prayers and healings, not only for myself, but also family and friends. You have been called, Kathleen, to speak all over the world, and wherever God sends you, the Holy Spirit uses you in amazing ways to touch the hearts and lives of God's hurting people through your extraordinary gift of healing. God bless you, Kathleen.
You're listening to In His Sign Catholic Radio, empowered by the Holy Spirit, bringing the fire of God's love to the world. We are blessed to have had this Catholic radio apostolate for almost 40 years now. Thanks be to God for your partnership. Without you, this radio voice would be silenced. We have a monthly Mass offered for you, our loyal family of listeners. It's our way of saying thank you for underpinning our apostolate with your many prayers and financial support. This is your radio ministry, to be a voice for those who have no voice, to evangelize and to catechize for a time such as this. We know the Lord will bless you abundantly. He can never be outdone in generosity. If this ministry has touched your heart, help us to touch other hearts by supporting us with your prayers and financial support. Call us at 610-527-2906. Or visit our website at inhissign.com.
And welcome back to Saints and Sinners. Your host, Ken Johnston, and I am flying solo today. Father McKay's got the week off. He'll be back with us again next Wednesday. So, again, I want to praise and thank God for all of our listeners, and thank you for all that you do for us here at In His Sign. Because I haven't been here for a couple of weeks, we're a little behind on getting the podcast up on the website, but I'll be working on it over the next couple of days to try to get it up to date. So if you go out to inhissign.com and then click on content and podcast, you'll be able to listen to all the latest shows. Also want to get you up to date on happenings of the Calyx Society here in the Philadelphia area. Father and I, McKay and I, get together every Tuesday in the Grace Ferry neighborhood of South Philadelphia. We meet at the Matt Talbot Chapel. We actually have a beautiful marble stone outside of the door now on the wall. So easier to identify where the Matt Talbot Chapel is. There's also a huge sign of the Divine Mercy outside the chapel, corner of 29th and Dickinson. We get started at 6 o'clock with the short adoration period, followed by Mass, and then our Calyx meeting usually gets started around 7 o'clock. On the third Tuesday is when we are in church, and so we won't we're not going to be in church again until the middle of November. We'll remind you the exact date then. The Glenside Unit at St. Luke's, my home parish, we meet on the third Saturday of each month, where we join the parish for 8:30 a.m. Mass, followed by the Calyx meeting. We just met this past Saturday, so it'll be another month before we get together again at St. Luke's in Glenside. The unit at Queen of the Universe in Levittown, they get together on the first and third Thursday of the month at 7 o'clock in the Parish Center. Their next meeting will be tomorrow night, October the 20th. Again, that's 7 o'clock in the Parish Center. We have a unit at St. Francis of Assisi in Springfield. They meet on the last Saturday of the month, beginning at 4 o'clock with the Vigil Mass, followed by a Calyx meeting. And they will meet at the end of this month on October the 29th. And last but certainly not least, the unit at Nativity of the Blessed Virgin Mary in Media, they meet on the second Saturday of the month. They go to the 5 o'clock Vigil Mass and then the Calyx meeting after. Father McKay is also the chaplain right now for that unit. Their next meeting will be on Saturday, November the 12th. 5 o'clock today, I'm hoping to be joined by Kristen Van Uden, and we're going to talk about a couple different books about purgatory and the afterlife. Also, I shouldn't fail to mention there's a Calyx unit that meets at St. Matthew's in Wilmington, Delaware. They meet every Wednesday, and they'll meet tonight, 6 o'clock Mass, and then in-person Calyx meeting after. They just restarted their in-person Calyx meetings in the last couple of months. So if you're in the Wilmington neighborhood and want to join into a Calyx meeting, again, St. Matthew's, 6 o'clock Mass, followed by a Calyx meeting. And we're going to go to the phones, and we will start with our friend Tom. Hello, Tom. How you doing, pal?
Good, Ken. It's Ken, right?
Yeah, man. How are you, brother?
How you doing today?
I'm 90% physically, 120% spiritually after being back in the saddle.
Very good, very good. Good to hear that. Listen, I'm up and working up in Staten Island this week.
Uh-oh.
And my honor God, I'm up on the roof, and there's stuff blowing around. I'm like, hey, you know what? It's not even, some of it was my trash, some of it wasn't. Let me straighten up. I'm on my knees cleaning up, and here's a dime laying right in front of me.
There you go.
Up against the rail, you know. Shouldn't have, I don't know why it's there. I do know why it's there. It's God saying, yo, here I am. I'm here. But, you know, you're listening, some of the people don't know about the dime. You'll explain that one.
Yeah, absolutely.
And then I was listening to you about the complete abstinence. I know for me, I tried the other way, the methadone and the Suboxone maintenance. It didn't work until I had complete abstinence. And I'm over 3 years now, 3.5 years, that nothing in me, and I'm loving it. And I thank God every day.
Nah, you're a beautiful witness to it, Tom. And, you know, it's really a difficult subject to broach sometimes with people, especially those that have lost loved ones to an overdose. But, you know, we see it, the circles that we travel in, and you can pick out the folks that are on maintenance, whether it's methadone or Suboxone or any of those others. And granted, it may keep you from dying, but it's really no way to live. And you are you know, the perfect example of that. And, you know, the before and after.
Yeah, I was a slave to that. You know, now I have to have that in me.
Right.
So I don't need anything. It turns out I don't need anything at all. I need God.
Amen.
And I know that. And good friends, which I've found, real friends finally.
Amen.
And let me say one more thing, Ken. I did not forget about that pocket door. I will get over there, I promise you.
All right, brother. When you get back from Staten Island.
Yeah, I'll see you this weekend.
All right, pal. We appreciate it. Thank you so much. Thanks for the call.
All right, I'll talk to you.
All right, bye. God bless. Right, bye-bye. For those that aren't aware, Tom mentioned the dimes. And I know Father McKay's explained it a couple times, but I think it bears repeating. And, you know, it all started with, you know, one of the benefactors of Our House Ministries and Holy Family Home and a whole lot of other places. And probably one of the holiest men I've known in my life other than or after Father McKay, and that was Joe Kahl. You know, Joe played a significant role in a whole lot of people's lives, and in mine in particular. And the work that he did, you know, even though you wouldn't think somebody that owns a bar or a tap room would, you know, be one of the most spiritual guys you'd ever meet, but Joe was, he was that person. And, you know, the places that God put him in order for him to, you know, become friends with Father McKay. And then the first time I ever went to Grace Ferry was with Joe. Joe picked me up and took me down to. I talked to Father McKay on the phone, but hadn't met him in person yet. And Father and Joe Kahl was the guy that took me there. And even last night when I was talking to Father McKay before Holy Hour at St. Gabriel's last night, and Father was asking me about my relationship with Father McKay and how long it had been and what it was like and what have you. And I mentioned to him, you know, the same thing, that it was through a mutual friend in Joe Kahl that I got to meet Father McKay in person. And Father McKay right away, you know, piped up. I know, you know, Joe Kahl, you know, apparently he had a brother that lived in Glenside for a while and would frequent the Glenside pub and knew Joe fairly well. So anyway, the story goes that because of his own situation in spiritual life, Joe wouldn't spend a whole lot of time in the bar when it was open, but would come early in the morning and do some cleaning up and what have you. And as he would clean up, he noticed that he was finding these dimes, and he would find them coincidentally at times where he may not have been exactly where he wanted to be in his spiritual life. And so those dimes were just a reminder, you know, that even though he couldn't perhaps sense God or feel God's presence at that particular moment, that those dimes were a sign that God was still there and looking out for him. And so Joe passed that on to Father McKay. And now on any given Tuesday night at our Calyx meeting, and I'm sure other Calyx meetings that where they have that Is That Odd or Is That God segment, and that's really where the whole thing got started with these dime stories, I think, and why we do it every Wednesday. That's where it came from, you know. And you know, is it odd or is it God that, you know, Tom's up there in Staten Island on the roof of a building and decides he's going to clean up a little bit and happens to bend over and find a dime. And there's been times where I've had dimes pop up in my life, and I know that the dime wasn't there, you know, 15 minutes or 24 hours before, and that there was only one way that it got there. And it wasn't because one of my kids or my wife dropped it there or anybody else for that matter, that somehow or other God managed to put that dime in my path. And just a reminder, hey, Ken, yeah, I'm here. You know, I'm still waiting for you. If anybody ran away, it wasn't me. And so keep an eye out for those dimes. If you happen to have a dime story in your own life, and, you know, remember it and call us some Wednesday with your Is That Odd or Is That God. It'd be great to hear from you. Again, we got about 17 minutes left before we go to our 5 o'clock show, and I just got confirmation that Kristen Van Uden is going to be with us and talking about a couple of great books. So you'll want to tune in for that as well. But in the meantime, the phone number's here, 610-527-2906. That's 610-527-2906. Or call us toll free at 888-343-2484. That's 888-343-2484. Before we went to the break, we were talking a little bit about companionship along the way, and especially in light of St. Luke the Evangelist and how St. Paul wrote about him in his letter to Timothy. And, you know, the other things with St. Paul, or St. Luke, rather, of course, are, you know, he's both the author of the Gospel of St. Luke as well as the Acts of the Apostles. And Luke himself was a Gentile, a convert to the Christian faith. And so that's where his writings are aimed at, or aimed for, are those people that would not have known God or Yahweh the God of the Old Testament and introducing them to Jesus Christ. And, you know, some of the way he writes in the parables that Luke gives us are in some ways different than or don't exist in a couple of the other Gospels, the Synoptic Gospels, that is. But, you know, in particular, the way that Luke wanted to draw us in into Christ and to let us know about the miracles and the parables and all that God did, especially in the Acts of the Apostles and, you know, how the early church was formed and the things that they've done and did. And oh, by the way, we're still doing them 2,000 years later. If anybody needs proof that the Catholic Church is the one holy Catholic and apostolic church, you know, just think about any other institution that's been around for 2,000 years, and I think you'd struggle to find them. And yet everything that's been thrown at our church over its history, all the attempts to tear it down and shut it down and what have you, and yet here we are alive and kicking. May not have the numbers today that we've may have had 50 years ago or 100 years ago. And that's okay. Our Jewish brothers and sisters don't have anywhere near the numbers that they had either. You know, they had a remnant that formed, and I know that our remnant is forming, and that the folks that we run into in church, at devotions, at Calyx meetings, wherever it is that we run into fellow Catholics along the way, are the ones that truly believe. I know if you ever want an excuse to leave, you've certainly had it over the last 20 or 25 years. And so those of us that continue to stick it out day in and day out to try to make it to Mass whenever we can, but at a minimum on Sunday, to try to get to confession, I guess by rule or Catholic law, that should be at least once a year as part of our Easter duty, but try to get there every month. You know, I say it all the time, I don't think that there's any more joy that a priest gets than he does in being able to administer the sacrament of reconciliation, to reconcile us back to God, despite some of the horrific or not so horrific things that we've done, but those minor things that tend to separate us from Christ, to bring us back into full communion with Christ and his church. And people often say, you know, why do I have to, you know, tell my sins to a man? And, you know, you're not telling them to a man. You're telling them to Jesus Christ. He's there in persona Christi. I'm sure that there's other things that these guys would rather do than perhaps sit in a confessional if it weren't for the grace that they're able to administer. And again, that grace doesn't come from Father McKay or Father McKee or any of the other wonderful priests that we have. It only comes through them. Comes directly from Jesus Christ. There's no doubt about that. It's as scriptural as you want to get, where you know, Christ told the apostles that, you know, whose sins are forgiven, he forgives, and knows that his priests retain are retained. And it doesn't get any more clearer than that. And while I certainly believe that God has the ability to forgive sins without the sacrament of confession, there's no way we have proof that our sins are forgiven outside of the confessional. We may believe it and can certainly think it, and based on, you know, what Jesus Christ had taught and his desire to forgive sin. But are there reasons that those sins may not be forgiven or should not be forgiven? Are there other steps that we need to do in order to make good on them? And that's one of the beauties of the 12-step program that I think meshes so well with our Catholic faith, and that's in our ninth step, where we actually go out and make amends to people that we've hurt. And I don't think in all of my 55 years of going to confession, I probably made my first confession when I was 6 years old, so 61 now, 55 years of going to confession, and probably with a big gap in there in my late teens, early 20s, that I don't ever recall a priest in a confessional telling me that I needed to go back and actually make amends for the wrong that I had done. And that's not because it may not have been required. When we go to confession, the fact that we admit what we've done and show the sorrow for it is often enough for us to get the forgiveness that we're seeking. But to take it to the next step and actually go back to the people that we've hurt, whether they're alive or dead, or businesses that we've hurt, whether they're still in business or not. I know many people that have gone to their parents' or graves or grandparents' graves, those that they've hurt, and, talk to them in that setting and make amends as best they can. To make amends to businesses that you may have stolen from or shoplifted from, and maybe they're not in business anymore, but you can donate the value of whatever it is that you shoplifted to a charity. It just adds that one more layer of forgiveness and healing that we as humans so desperately need. And we may not admit that we need healing. We may walk around and act like there's nothing bothering us and everything's okay. And I promise you that if you take 5 minutes to think about, what we've done and how we've done it, and that there's always room in there for amends. Are there people that we have still hold resentments against? Are there people that we've not spoken to or have not spoken to us for days or weeks or months or even years over something that when you finally get together and talk to them, you realize that it may not have been a big a deal as you thought it was, or that it's because perhaps of something that you've said that you think this person wants nothing to do with you anymore, and to go back to them and to apologize for whatever it is that you said or did, and realize that it was really on us and not on them, that they never quite understood what the issue may have been and why you fell off the face of the earth when it came to that relationship. I've had that happen in my life, where I was afraid to get together with somebody for years. And when I finally did, they were more upset about not having that ongoing friendship than they were about the differences that we had. And so take time in prayer this week or in the coming weeks and look over our lives. And a lot of people, we don't want to do that. It's probably the hardest thing in the world for we as humans to do, is to, look back over our lives and look for where we've hurt people or have had resentments. And truly try to make amends for it. And like I said, there's going to be places where we're not going to be able to make those direct amends. But in those places where we are, just think about it. Ask for God for the grace to make those amends. I promise you that the grace will come. And you may not get the exact outcome that you're looking for. Maybe that relationship won't be healed. But at least you've done your part in cleaning up your side of the street, in taking care of what you could take care of. And if the person still holds on to that resentment, well, then that's on them. At least you've cleared your side of the street and have opened up the communication waves in order to make that happen again. So, all these things that I never would have dreamed of, thought of, would have done in my own life if it hadn't been for my own addiction and the desperation that came as a result, and then having good people in my life who taught me these ways, that taught me about the 12-step program, that reintroduced me and taught me about the real Catholic faith, not the ones that people talk about that don't go to church, but the one that people talk about when they're in their pews and stand outside of church and talk about it, or get together at various times and talk about their faith. Those are the ones that are going to help you in your own life, not those that only want to drag down the church and those that they meet. So if you're still a churchgoer, God bless you. Like I said, you had every opportunity in the last 25 years or so to walk away and to still be there and offering thanksgiving to Christ at Mass and trying to live a good, holy Catholic life. God bless you. And there's many of us that are trying to do it one day at a time. And we know who wins in the end. I've said that a couple of times to guests that I've had in the 5 o'clock hour, and they always remind me, it's like, yeah, we know who wins in the end, but we got a lot of work to do in between. And a lot of that work is our prayer life, is participating in our own lives, participating in our communities, especially through things like elections, and doing all that we can to bring about Christ's presence here and now. I don't want to wait to heaven to have the constant contact with Christ. I want it here and now. And our church and everything that it offers avails us of those opportunities to spend time with God. So we're approaching the top of the hour. We just have a few minutes left here. Again, I want to thank Kathleen McCarthy and all the volunteers here at Innis Sign Catholic Radio that allow us to bring you shows like today's, and how important they are to a lot of folks. And you let us know when we see you. Again, I'm so sorry that I missed the golf outing, even getting to the dinner, because it, like I say, it's always a highlight in my year to be able to spend time with like-minded people and just hearing how the radio apostolate has impacted you. And we can't do it without you. Your prayers and your financial contributions are what allow us to keep on air at these dangerous times. And, you know, there was a note that happened to be left on the desk here in the studio that we, all the broadcasters share, Kathleen, myself, Ann McGlone, Joe Trainer, those that actually come into the studio. Not that there's anything wrong with calling in. Trust me, I don't mean to disparage anybody, but we share this same space here when we're doing the broadcast. And, a note that left here, that was left here, that say you continue to reiterate that we are living in dangerous times, so now more than ever we need your voice to proclaim the good news for such a time as this. And, you know, Kathleen talks about it all the time. And I, brothers and sisters, I don't think it's going to get any easier in the very near future. I think it may get easier in the not-too-distant future, in the next year or so. But in the meantime, I think things are going to get a little bit worse. Anybody that purchases their own electric or natural gas as part of paying their utility bill, you know that the rates, even if you're locked in now, whenever that contract's up with your energy provider, that the rates that are out there now are double and triple what we've seen in the last year. We continue to see, you know, food prices continue to grow. We haven't had the food shortages yet, but the prices continue to grow. And even to hear somebody that's running for office state that the solution to that is killing babies, that we should not have children, that having children is, it's your own fault if you have to pay more for food and gasoline if you're having children, is just beyond the pale. And to think, and I'm sure that this politician's not alone in her thoughts. And so that's what we're up against, you know? People that think that killing babies or not having children is the solution to all our problems, it's the furthest thing from the solution. And nothing greater than bringing new babies into this world and, watching them grow up, especially if they're faith-filled in particular, or even have the opportunity at some point to become faith-filled. So we need these shows more than ever. And again, we want to thank you for all your support that allows that to happen. Again, we're confirmed for Kristen Van Uden in the next hour. I'm looking forward to talking to her. In the meantime, again, thank you for all that you do for us here at In His Sign Catholic Radio. Father McKay, Kathleen, myself, all the volunteers, we know that we can't do it without you. So every nickel that you send us, every prayer that you offer for us is not wasted, that's for certain. So thanks again for being here for the first hour. We're just going to take a short break here. When we come back in the 5 o'clock hour, again, I'll be joined by Kristen, and we're going to be talking about probably the most important thing in life, and that's the afterlife. If you're not thinking about it now, brothers and sisters, it's time to start. Not that we want anybody to die in the next couple of days or weeks or months or maybe even in the next couple of years, but sooner or later, we all got to face it. And are you ready? You'll be ready if you stick around for the 5 o'clock hour. Don't go away. We'll be right back.